But I want us to hear some stories now. And there is something, isn't there, about stories. When we give information, often the information we give is often in the form of stories. We tell it in story form. God himself uses stories. The Bible is one story. It's one big narrative telling his story. And there are moments also within Scripture when stories work best, when they work better than information. And so there's this moment when Jesus asks people to only tell their story. So in Mark 5, there's a man who's freed from demons. And this is what Jesus says to him. Go home to your own people and tell them how much the Lord has done for you. It's not so, go and tell them the three steps to salvation. It's not that. Just go tell your story. Go and tell it. And the result of it is that all the people were amazed. All the people were amazed. And then in John 9, there's a blind man who's healed. And the religious leaders, they interrogate him. They're just asking him and asking him. And all he is doing is he's just giving them the facts of his story. He's just telling them his story. And this is what he says. One thing I do know, I was blind, but now I see. That was his line. He doesn't defend theology. He just tells his story. This is what God's like. This is what I've seen God to be like. This is who Jesus is. And so these stories that you're going to hear today, they are a mosaic. That's why they're called mosaic stories, because they are a mosaic. They all sound different. They're all going to be people bringing them are going to be very different people. Their stories all play out differently, but their message, the message of all of them, just as our church wants to be, is rooted in Christ. It's all rooted in what God has done. Let me tell you what God has done. Whether it's a suffering story, whether it's a weird story, whether it's a deep story, whether it's a simple or normal story, each piece fits into the mosaic and it tells what God does and what God is like. And so just think of it like this way. In Psalm 66, verse 16 says it this way: come and hear, all who fear the Lord. Let me tell you what he has done for me. Just like Psalm 66, the point of these stories are who they are about. Right? These people are not telling you about themselves, even though they probably are telling you a little bit about themselves. Actually, it's deeper than that. They're sharing stories of God's faithfulness and his providence over their lives. They're sharing how God has been at work in the good and in the bad, how God's at work in all of those areas. And so my hope this morning is that you don't approach these stories looking to be persuaded, looking to be entertained even. I hope they are persuasive and entertaining in some capacity, but instead that you come and hear God's heart, that you come and see and hear about God's character, God's goodness in it all. And so I'm praying that for all of us. I'm praying that as we hear these stories in a second, that Psalm 66 verse 16 is just resonates in this room. Come and hear. Let me tell you what he has done for me. And that's why I pray that we'll hear. So we're gonna hear from someone in a moment. But before we do, just join with me as I pray. God, will you come and meet us? I pray, Lord, as these people share their stories, as they tell just what you've done in their lives, very simply, that actually it will transform us to see the character of God, that we'll see what you're like, that just like communion, it will join our story with your story. It will join their story with your story as well. And will we see it? Will we see the connection there? God, will you reveal our story with your story through what is brought this morning, I pray. Amen. Amen. So first up, I'm going to invite Jamie Lee. She's going to come over. And so she's going to be talking to you a little bit about her faith journey so far and come to know God in a new way. So coming up, you can come up. Yeah, it's just so you know, it's quite scary, like having to come up the front, and so these are not professional public speakers, so we need to give them everything we got. All right, can we do that this morning? Yeah, yes, yeah.
Thank you. Okay, good morning, everybody. Help me. My name is Jamie. Okay, so as a child, my heart is pumping really fast. I was really close with my grandparents, and they were Jehovah's Witnesses. So their beliefs shaped my early faith. As I became an adult, I was pretty concerned with their organization. Some quite controlling behavior, pretty cult-like. But when I brought my concerns to my grandparents, ultimately they went on to completely shun me. So at that time, on reflection now, I feel like my faith was too painful. My faith and what I thought was my unconditional love with my grandparents was so intertwined that it felt really difficult to have one without the other. So for a period, I kind of shut the door on my faith. And then there was a point probably about over a year ago that life was just a little bit tough. It was coming up to Christmas. I was trying to do all of the things that we do to make Christmas really magical for the children. We had family in hospital. We had lots of illnesses. My husband was bedbound for 3 weeks. So I was caring for him. And I just felt very alone. And then there was a day that I just wanted to get the children some fresh air. There was lots of illnesses. They were indoors a lot. And it was a beautifully sunny day like today, but it was freezing cold. And I put them in the garden. I set up the deck chairs. They had blankets, hot chocolates, hats, gloves, the lot. I've even got a nice picture of it. And I put on some country music because that's my favourite. And a worship song came on. And it was by an artist that I didn't know made worship music. And in that moment in the garden, I felt like God was telling me that I wasn't alone. And he was right there with me. And I could lean on him. Not with all the answers, but just as I was. Yeah, and luckily for me, I had connections already within Mosaic, so I knew where to come. And ever since, we've been trying to prioritize coming to church as a family. And I took part in Mosaic Alpha, which was amazing. And I look forward to deepening my faith even more, but this time with no rules, no fear, just learning about who Jesus is and how I can walk alongside him every day. Thank you.
It's great. I'm going to ask Anthony to come up. So Anthony is fairly new to the church. You got the idea, like clap over me. Brilliant idea. So it's not normally like I'm shorter than someone. So Anthony, new to faith, and so he's going to be sharing that story of that journey he's gone on, coming to faith.
Morning, everyone. So it's just going to be a journey of about 7 years. I'm going to start with just covering some bits. And there was a significant moment that came around that really changed me permanently. So I spent about 20 years of my life, I was very withdrawn as a person. I isolated myself from a lot of people. I was very much alone. It was very intentional. I felt like I deserved that as part of something. I don't know what it ended up being, but I wanted to isolate myself from people because I felt I needed to do that. Let me just pull my phone up, sorry. It's a long one. There was no friends, no fun, no joy, none of that in my life. It was just intentional discomfort and loneliness, just keeping me away from everybody, really. And that all changed about 7 years ago. And now I see it as a moment in life where God came to me and started drawing me back, and my niece came into the world, and that ruined me. All the emotions come through, the realization of, you know, you do want children and families and all those sorts of things that you've isolated yourself through. So I began helping myself. I started therapy. I then, through those things, I wanted to build relationships with people again. And that then led me to the gym. So I spent a long time in the gym. I wanted to better myself, both physically and mentally. And I saw my niece and then my nephew came along and all those sorts of things, where I was like, if I want kids, I don't want them to have what I had. You know, I don't want to drop my burdens onto those children that I'm going to be around them for the rest of their life and I'm hoping to have my own. So that journey ended up moving after 3 years, and I met my incredible partner, Lily, the love of my life, and I truly see that as another moment of God putting someone in my path, and it's the big move towards that, and I adore her utterly, and I thank him every day for sending her to me, because she really is incredible. Experiencing life alongside my partner Lily, seeing how her faith gave her comfort in times of difficulty, watching her be ostracized by friends because of it, and yet every day stepping out into the world, proclaiming her faith and her belief. It was just incredible to see. And it made me curious. I was generally a very cynical person. I thought there was something logical to it all. So there was a point this year where I decided, I know, I'll go to big church and I'll see if I can understand it for myself and try and think about what it might be that people see out there and how that affects them mentally. And, you know, being in therapy, you sort of start to look at things a little bit more analytically than maybe is really required. So going to that, really, I felt something there, and that changed me. And from we finished up going through that, I felt very emotional after it. And then I asked Lily to share a Bible with me. So that's sort of the recap up until the very last moment of this year. So let's find this part. Sorry, I've skipped ahead a few bits. So there was a day in September. I finished work. And I was getting ready to go to the gym, I was getting my stuff ready, just about to leave. And I was just sat on the edge of my bed, and I just had this urge to pick up my Bible. I hadn't read it yet, I'd got it from Lily the day before, so it was just the gospel. And I started reading, and I started going through the early parts, and I ended up stopping, because I had a headache, and I stopped on the baptism of Jesus. And I was really not well, I had a really, really bad headache, felt horrendous. So I put it down and I was like, I just going to try maybe going to sleep and or just lay down, get through it all. I laid down and I had an experience that changed me permanently. Sorry, this is quite a big bit. So I can only really describe it as being fully conscious sort of asleep, and I experienced the presence of God in that moment. And I'll never truly be able to capture the reality of what happened, but I hope that some of these words will help describe that. It started with a voice that sounded like it was made up of just uncountable others at the same time. It was the most trippy thing I've ever experienced in my life. But I knew I was in my bedroom. I knew where I was completely. And I don't really remember much. I only remember a few words. But what really took me back was the moment those words started and the voice was speaking, there was just fire and screams. And I know it sounds crazy, and I'm really nervous about talking about it because, yeah, I can't explain it. That went on, and it was just the most surreal experience of my life. And I genuinely felt in awe of the whole situation. It's quite big. Sorry, let me just compose myself a little bit. So to me, it felt like something was really under attack from the words, from the voice, from that presence in the room. Things that had attached themselves to me over time. Whether that would be if people do truly believe in the spiritual side of the Bible and the religion itself, but that's for me what it felt like. Like something was there, something was removed from me in that moment. And the only words that I ever remember was, "He is now wearing my armor and is no longer yours." And those words have stayed with me. And from that, I didn't know anything. And then I came across Ephesians. And I was like, oh, that makes total sense now. So, I woke up and I was no longer feeling unwell. Headache was gone. And for the first time in my life, I had a sense of weightless peace. And the voices of self-doubt and criticism were absent, and the noises of an unsettled mind were quieted. It was the most blissful experience of my life, and it has not gone since. I laid on my bed and soaked up the overwhelming grace and love that flowed over me until after what turned out to be 4 hours. I was fully awake, and I just lost time completely. It just went. I got up. And I immediately phoned my partner. I spoke to Lily and I told her everything. I was in pieces. I was crying. I could not explain any of it. So from that day in mid-September, my life has been dedicated to Christ, with every part of me improving from following the narrow path he's called me to. I'm privileged to have my curiosity answered with an unquestionable response, to have the foundation of my faith be so certain in my mind. You could almost say it would be illogical for me not to believe now. I just want to take a chance just to say a little thing for people that might resonate with some of you. God will come to you in a way that is personal to you, a way that only you will respond to. Look for those moments and answer the call. Allow him in. Be honest with him when you struggle with the faith. And he will show you so much grace, it's impossible not to believe in him. Okay, and those moments made me feel like, I was really nervous about sharing it today because it makes me sound a little bit crazy. But those are those moments that only I can know that that's it. And people will stand in front of you and you'll tell them that don't believe, and you will be really worried about what they're thinking. You'll be feeling like you're alone. You're not. He's there, and everyone else hopefully here feels the same whenever they talk about their stuff. At least here. So thank you.
So good hearing each other's stories. I'm going to ask Claire to come on up. Yes. I feel I have to give an apology to Claire. I often refer to Linda Lott as the oldest member of Greater Church / Mosaic Church, but I think it is a fair contest between the two of them, Claire and Linda. So if I ever don't do that, I'm very sorry. But I'm going to hand over to Claire.
Yeah, Linda and I were just having a confab at the back as to when Grace Church started, and we reckon it's probably about 20 years ago this month, isn't it? Yeah, I've been here a long time, and I'm still here. Was it January or February you announced Mosaic was starting? Something like that, wasn't it? And I cried. I didn't take it very well. And I kind of surprised myself, I think, with my reaction. I kind of heard the news and I was like, okay, yeah. And then Johnny came over and that was it. I was just bawling my eyes out, just a mess. And I think sort of Grace Church was in my DNA, and I was part of the furniture, and I'd grown, I'd been forgiven, I'd had grace, I'd served, I'd been served, it was my home. I'm getting but sometimes God moves you on. I mean, I was part of Bognor site, and I'd moved from Chichester site to Bognor site when it had started, because I felt that was the right thing. and it was. But sometimes God does things that you don't like, and I kind of had to choose whether I was going to submit to God and the church leadership, even though it wasn't quite what I wanted or envisaged, or whether I wasn't going to follow that. So last year was just challenging in different ways, just submitting to God and what he was doing here. And I was kind of in with it. Part of me was like, yeah, I can see that. I can be with that. And then part of me was like, but I don't like it. And I feel like I was kind of up here for prayer after every service for, I don't know how many months, the whole year. But that's cool. And it's always good to get prayer. And I had some health issues as well over the last year as well, which didn't really help how I was kind of feeling. So that was, and I had to let go of sort of different things. But God is faithful. God is always there. And in the years of being with Grace and now Mosaic, you know, he's never let me down. And I know that he will be with me for, you know, well, the rest of my life and the whole journey. And it's exciting to see what Mosaic's going to do. And just this end of last year, we had a tyre puncture and our oven went. But actually, both of those were opportunities to get to know our neighbours better and kind of start to reach out, you know, just in relational things. Because one of the guys was like, yeah, I can fix your tyre. My son's got a garage and he used to work in there. So he's like, I'll take your tyre and go and fix it. So I was like, oh, thank you, God. And that was also a prayer answered because... he, you know, that saved us £200 to £400 on a new tyre. So that was brilliant. and then our oven went, and our other neighbour is a bit of a DIY person. He's like, oh, yeah, buy the heating element. I'll come around and do it for you. So, you know, God provides the opportunities to start building those relationships just where you are. And then who knows where they kind of go on up to. So, fab. Thanks.
Just want to honour Claire's faithfulness. I just want you to catch something. She didn't like the news, yeah? She didn't like it. And it's okay for us as a church to not like what might be happening or what's going on. But there is a faithfulness in Claire to just continue with God. Like she knows that this is what God's... She knew it was right, but it didn't mean she had to enjoy it. And so sometimes it is like that, yeah, in our faith, in our walk. I don't know if you caught it in a couple of the stories. It's not always fun, but God is faithful, and it is God honours our faithfulness. And so I just want to honour Claire in that. I'm going to ask Jude to come up. Jude is our intern this year. I'm not going to mention his hair.
Yeah, if you haven't seen me before, I had a lot longer hair before Christmas, so that's what Johnny's on about. and also, if I'm shaking a bit, it's because it's cold, not the nerves. In the beginning of this year, I went to back home, September, before September. I went back home for summer. I went on holiday, and we didn't have a house ready for the internship in Bognor, me, Tom, and Roshan. And we were all a bit shaky about it, and it wasn't until probably I was on holiday at the sort of end of August when Tom went ahead and visited our house at the moment, and he was like, we've got it, we've got it secured. And we were so happy we were. And I was genuinely thinking I would have to commute from Southampton to here back and forth for the internship for the beginning part. But I'm so happy that, you know, God provided the house and we've managed to, you know, to stay here for the first part of the internship, which is really good. And I just wanted to say, throughout this time in the internship so far, I keep on speaking to my parents. In my testimony to, before I was baptized. I talked to my parents about my parents a lot, how I went to church for my first time on Mother's Day on my own. I just wanted to say to anyone here with kids that don't have children going to church at the moment, that it just keep on bothering them. Just keep on bothering them about it, because it worked for me. And I talk to my dad all the time at the moment about all of the, you know, everything I go up in on my theology training, in my Bible studies and stuff. I just always talk to him. Him and Johnny and Simon have been really good helps for this year at the moment. And just another thing I wanted to say going into this year, I was talking to Johnny one time about, it wasn't ever a problem for me until I was talking to him. I used to gamble quite a bit in my second year at uni. And then I sort of slowed it down. I thought I put it in control. I was only doing 40 quid a month. I was like, oh, that's fine. It's only 40 quid, doesn't mean anything. And I talked to John, and he was like, you know, where's your heart with this money? And I was like, oh, okay. I see what he's on about now. I'm just sort of putting money. I'm just saying, here's 40 quid just out every month, out and about, just for no reason. So I decided from then on, this is about 2 months ago, it was October, I will put away that 40 quid, and I won't put it into gambling anymore. I gave it to the church, I did. And when I gave it to the church, something really weird happened. I got a 40 quid invoice from an energy company I've never talked to before. And they gave me, just 40 quid out of the blue. And I was like, what the heck? This is really weird. What is God doing here? He's just giving me money back. And then, you know, even more money started coming in from other things that I could explain more, but that was just something I couldn't explain. I really was amazed by that, and I'm like, and especially that I don't work during this internship, you know, every single bit of money really helped out, and I've been really thankful for that. I'm really thankful that God's been, you know, providing for me while still on this internship.
It's good. It's good. God does some weird stuff. Doesn't he? Does some weird stuff. We are blessed, by the way, to have Jude serving us regularly as a church. I liked his language there. He didn't say, I'm not being paid to do this. I'm not doing any work, is what he said. I don't think he quite meant that. He does do work. He does work hard. We're going to have our, I think it's our last story, from Jose. Do you want to come on up, Jose? Thank you. Going to share our final story this morning.
Thank you. Hello, everyone. This is a story about design. In Genesis 1, God created the earth and he fills it. And as the pinnacle of that, he makes humanity. And then in Genesis 2, we read a bit more about that in detail. And God makes man first and he puts him in the garden and he gives him work to do. But then he looks at him and he says, "It is not good for the man to be alone. I will make a helper suitable for him." And he brings all of the animals to the man, but none of them are the helper suitable for him. And that's when God takes part of man's side and he makes woman. And here we have the helper suitable for him. Now, in English, helper and suitable are not usually words that we use to describe something of significance or importance. But let me tell you a story. When I left college in 2004, God provided a job for me in a small local business, and it felt like I fell into it. Now, this company, they worked with big pension schemes, and they took really complicated information and turned it into something that people could understand. Now, I joined as an assistant to the office, so I used to make the teas, I'd answer the phone, do the post run, and I also did some proofreading because I was good at English. And they had me in the studio making physical mock-ups of the design work that they were producing. I used to sit with the designers for hours. I loved what they did. And in the end, though, I joined the other team where they did the writing of the words. Over the next decade, I'd find myself back in the studio watching my words being designed. And after a while, I picked up how to use the design software. And I'd help out when they were short-handed. Then in 2014, I met Rich, and later we got married. And when we had our first child, I decided not to go back to that job. And I became a freelance writer, which I've been doing ever since, something that I'm really good at. Last year, God gave Rich a project to do, and it involved writing. But Rich didn't need any help with the writing. What he did want to do was to design this and get it printed. So I said, well, I can help with that when you're ready. About the same time, I was working on a big project myself. And one day my laptop stopped working. Thankfully, it was on a day when I wasn't working, so I took it to someone to get it fixed. And I prayed and asked that God would sort it out. The next day, however, the IT guy rang me and he said, your motherboard has died and you need a new laptop. So this wasn't ideal. I rang my own client. I said, I've got to postpone my work. And I had to accept that they might not be able to wait for me, that they might have to hire someone else. But I prayed to God and I had this strange peace that you get when you trust God with something. So I start researching laptops. And this is on the Wednesday. And on the Thursday morning, I've got a short list of laptops. And the one on the top of my list is expensive. Now, a week earlier, I'd had a generic email from the payroll of the company that I was engaged with, saying that if I got any holiday, I needed to use it up by such and such a date. And I didn't think this applied to me, but I forwarded it to my contact to check. So here I am on Thursday morning with the short list of laptops, and I get an email back saying, it turns out you're owed holiday pay, and the figure in the email was enough money to buy the laptop at the top of the list. So there it was, unexpected finance, provided just at the right moment, and that had to be God. So I bought the laptop, it arrived at the weekend, got it all set up, and I was back to work, and I didn't lose any of my work, which was great. But as an added bonus, this laptop came with 2 months free use of the design software that we needed for Rich's project. So we got stuck in. It wasn't until we'd finished the project that I realized the sheer scale of what God had done. You see, he hadn't just provided the money for the laptop. He hadn't just provided the software. He'd also provided the job 20 years earlier where I learned how to use the software. Skills that I'd just learned for the sheer fun of it that was 10 years before I'd met Rich, and they lay dormant for another decade before he needed to do this project. Which takes us back to the phrase in Genesis, a helper suitable for him. And when I look again at the man and the woman in Genesis, they're not two random individuals. They're not friends. They're not employer and employee. They're husband and wife in a loving relationship designed to perfectly complement each other in their work in God's kingdom. And like her, God had prepared me with skills that I'd need to work with the husband who loves me for the sake of God's kingdom. See, Rich and I both like to read, we like to study, and we like to share what we learn with others, which is what this project was all about. A helper suitable for him, not insignificant, not unimportant, but a perfect counterpart, something that I think is really beautiful. And you see, we're not the only ones. I have seen couples who together make great hosts, lead churches, run charities, counsel and encourage others, and provide homes to foster children who need them. But even when things are not ideal, God can still bring fruit from those relationships. See, I grew up in a Christian home that broke apart, but as a result of all the years that my parents did work together, everyone from my parents to their grandchildren knows Jesus. And that to me is beautiful beyond expectation. So let's live in faith that the marriages that we have been part of, that we are part of, and that we will be part of, will too produce fruit that is beautiful beyond expectation. And let's remember that everything we learn, however obscure it might just be part of God's intentional preparing of us for the work he's given us to do in his kingdom.
Why don't we stand, if the band want to come up. Can we just show our appreciation to those who shared their stories this morning? So good to hear so many different stories and all piecing those together. Some brilliant, how God just has pieced all of those stories together, all those mosaic pieces together to just point to his bigger story. That there is some weird in it, there is also some wonderful in it, and there is a lot of Jesus in it. Amen? Amen. Why don't we just, what better way to finish our morning together than to sing the praises of King Jesus? Amen? Amen. It's so good to be starting our year, hearing what God's done last year, but we also know he's got great things to come. whether it's a skill that we've got, whether it's an encounter with people, whether it's a decision we like or don't like, whether it is something weird and wonderful, whether it is just God growing us and shaping us to be more like him, whether it's taking us into faith, he has got plans for us, he's got purpose for us, and he is a good God. And we want to just make sure that that is our focus. He is our focus and he is our direction. Amen.